morning we are here to look at the Lord's words as he spoke to his disciples prior to going to the cross. He's been teaching them a lot of things. He has talked about the hostility of the world to the Christian who walks faithfully before the Lord. He has talked about the fact that if you live for Christ all in, if you will, that the world is going to reject you. And the reason is because it rejected him. And he said, the servant is not greater than the master. If they treated me this way, they will treat you that way also. And then as he continued to talk about this, he went into another subject and he said, one of the things that you're going to have to understand, and it's very important, is that there's a helper coming. Any of you here this morning think that you need or feel like you need a helper sometimes? Yeah. Well, I'm sure they did as well. He had called upon them to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, sharing with them the message of hope and life, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in that process, they needed help. And he was going to send a helper, which meant he needed to go away. He needed to go away, and that's what he was talking about. He was going to be leaving, and they would see him no more. But he would send a helper to them. And that helper would have a ministry in this world. The first ministry that the helper would have is that of convicting the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And we talked about that last week. The world, as it looks at itself, whose heart is not illuminated, cannot see the sin. They do not understand the wickedness. It is very hard to get people of the world today to even admit that there's evil in the world. You can talk to them and they'll say, well, I don't know, when most people are good people, not really a lot of evil in the world. They don't even see it. They don't understand it. So part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to illuminate their hearts and their minds so that they see the evil in the world and the sin in the world, so that they also then know that they have a need, and that that need is for a Savior who can redeem them from the sin and set them free and put them into the family of God and into the kingdom of God. Secondly, the Holy Spirit's responsibility is not only to convict the world of sin, but also of righteousness. You see, until I can see the contrast between the evil and the sin and the wickedness in this world and the righteousness of Jesus Christ and his children, it's very hard for me to see that there's any difference. If I'm not walking in the Spirit of God, if the Spirit of God is not illuminating my life and shining through me the life of Christ, the world simply sees me as one of them. And they see no difference. So the Holy Spirit's responsibility is not only to convict the world of sin, but also then to show them righteousness. And they show that through Jesus Christ, who was resurrected from the dead and rose again, in order to ascend to the Father and sit on the right hand of the Father. He couldn't be sitting there if he were not righteous and holy and without sin. And then the third thing that the Holy Spirit was sent to do was not only convict the world of sin and of righteousness, but also of coming judgment. That sin will be judged. That the sinner will be judged if he refuses to repent and turn his heart to Christ and give his life over. He will be judged by the very one that was crucified, by the very one that they put to death on the cross. He's already judged the prince of this world, Satan, and this world. That's already under his judgment. But he will also judge sin and the sinner who fails to repent or refuses to turn, refuses to accept the offer or gift from Jesus Christ of life. And so we see the ministry to the Holy Spirit to the world at large. As the gospel is preached, the Spirit moves upon the Word, and the Word convicts the heart. Every great evangelist is simply putting the words out there. Then it is up to the Spirit of God to take the words and to impact the hearts and lives of the people hearing, and illuminating them in such a way that they can see their need of Christ and turn their hearts to Him. Every great preacher is doing nothing more than being obedient and getting the Word of God out so that people can hear it, so that the Spirit can do His work in the life of those who are part of the world. But that's not the only reason the Holy Spirit was given. That is one reason. So that when the disciples knew that they would stand up one day, as Peter did, and gave a great sermon to all of those around about, that thousands would come to Christ because of the movement of the Spirit of God in their heart and lives based on the gospel he was preaching. Well, that's still true today. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to do the work and ministry He's called to do there, and then through our lives to do the ministry and calling that He has to the world. There are a lot of lost people in this world who do not know Christ, who see no need of Christ, who are going their own way, and they don't understand that they're in the broad way and not the narrow. And you and I are to carry the message of hope and life and conviction and power that will change their lives and the direction that they're moving and put them on the narrow path. Jesus doesn't stop after talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the world. He now moves on to talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer, to you, and to me. And we want to take a look at that so that we are clear on what the Spirit is here to do for you and I. Now, let's read John 16, verses 12 to 16. It says, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said He will take of Mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will not see Me, and again a little while and you will see Me, because I go to the Father." All right, so Jesus is now turning the attention of the Holy teaching about the Spirit upon what the Spirit is coming to do and what His responsibility is to you and I, His children. Now, we already know doctrinally and through the Word of God and through experience that Jesus Christ comes to live within your heart, within your very being at the moment you receive Him as Savior and Christ. He comes to live there in the form of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit now living in you brings all the attributes of the Spirit and all the attributes of Jesus Christ and all the attributes of God. And He dwells or makes His dwelling place inside you. And He does that in order to minister to you, in order to teach you when you need to be taught, in order to correct you when you need to be corrected, in order to convict you when you have sinned so that you'll turn and get back on the path, in order to use the Word of God in your life to help you grow to the full maturity of Jesus Christ. These are the things the Spirit of God is in you to do. And in that process of doing, it flows out of you as rivers of living water that will touch people around you and convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. However, if you and I get all clogged up and there's nothing flowing out of us because of sin in our own life or because of an unwillingness to speak up or an unwillingness to let Him live His life out through us, then what we've done in effect is put a bushel over the light. And the people around us see the bushel, you and I, but they don't see the light. And they don't see Jesus. And yet that is what we're here for. Have you ever asked yourself the question? I have. I asked this probably a few days after I became a Christian. And I've asked it for a lot of years. I always get the same answer. The question is this. Now that Jesus saved you, and you're redeemed, and you're part of the family of God, why didn't He just take you home? Why didn't He just scoop you up and take you up to heaven and say, here we are, our family's all here, and to hell with the world? They made a choice, and you made a choice. So now here you are. Why didn't He do that? Well, He did it in the sense that He pulled us out of the world system, but He didn't take us out of the world. And He left us here to be a witness and a shining light and a testimony to His mercy and His grace and His love for mankind. And we're to express that by the way we live and the way we treat each other and the way we help each other and the way that we care for each other. And so the Spirit wants to do that work in us. And He comes. But I want you to look at these verses we just read. 16, verses 12 to 16. He said, first of all, the Spirit is not going to speak on His own authority or from Himself. He's only going to speak that which He hears from the Father and from the Son. When Jesus was here, He said to the people who were listening to Him, I don't speak anything of Myself. I only speak that which I hear of the Father. Now the Holy Spirit's coming, and the Holy Spirit living in the believer is only going to speak that which he hears of the Father and of the Son. He's not going to speak all about Himself. He's not going to talk about Himself. As a matter of fact, Jesus goes on to say, He's going to tell you a lot of things. Whatever He hears, He'll speak. And He will tell you things to come. He's going to show you some of the future, of what's going to happen in the future. He's going to reveal that to you. That's part of His responsibility. But here's the key responsibility. He will glorify Me. Jesus said, He will glorify Me. The Spirit's responsibility is to glorify Jesus Christ in you. Not only to you, but in you. So that when the world sees you, they see Him. You see, that's what they want to see. They don't want to see you. They don't want to see our failures and our frustrations and our preferences and all the things that we get involved in so often that clog us up. They want to see a clear, flowing picture of Jesus Christ and His love and His mercy, His grace, and His offer of salvation and hope to a lost and dying world. And they want to see it in the Christian. Since you name the name of Christ, since you say you're His child, since you say He is your Father, then they want to see that in you. You see. So he will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. In other words, he's going to continue to teach you about me. You want to grow closer to Christ? Depend upon the Holy Spirit using the Word of God to draw you closer to Christ day after day as you meditate on the Word of God, as you get into the Word of God. I have to say, you can't just pick this maturity of Christ out of the air. Doesn't happen that way. It comes through the Spirit of God using the Word of God in my life to reveal the deep things of God that bring me to a place where I am mature in Him and not a child any longer. And then he went back to say, while he's going to take everything that's mine and declare it unto you, you have to understand that all things that the Father has are mine. So everything the Father has, everything the Son has, that's what the Holy Spirit is going to teach. And he's going to teach it to you. But you have to open this. You have to get into this and let him teach you through it, day by day, hour by hour. It never ceases to amaze me. You know, I'm getting up in years, just as a lot of you are. And all the years that I have been a Christian, and I started when I was basically 14, 15 years old, I've been learning ever since. And I still go to familiar passages that I think I know and understand, and the Spirit of God shows me something fresh, something new, something exciting. Every time I read it, if I come with my heart open to the Word of God. Now, I can come to the Word of God and I can do it just like a lot of people do, read it like a book, and it has no impact, no power, no anything on my life. But if the Spirit is in it and I come with my heart open and pray, and God teach me by your Spirit. You see, every time we gather like this, or every time we gather in the Sunday school class that I teach, or every time that we gather in the men when they meet together, every time that we sit over in the women's class, every time that we sit in a kid's class, and we sit down and we open the Word of God, we effectively are sitting at the feet of Jesus. And we're sitting here at the feet of Jesus and we're saying, Lord, by your Spirit, teach us so we know you better, deeper, that our lives are more effective for you. We're sitting at his feet this very moment. And the Spirit is here to teach us. So he's going to teach us all the things that there is to know about God and about Jesus. That's his responsibility, along with the others. Now, we can say that the Holy Spirit has come into the world to illuminate the world with respect to sin, righteousness, and judgment, but he has come to do even more than that. We have the ministry of the Spirit to believers, and the Lord is especially dealing with a revelation of truth here. He is getting the truth out to you. That's what he's supposed to do. It's a wonderful thing to know that the truth of God is only made known to us by revelation. No other way. Man doesn't know the truth of God apart from the Spirit of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, as my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Every time Paul spoke, he depended upon the power of the Spirit of God to use the words to change the lives and the hearts of people. And he also said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Our Lord prayed these words in 11:25, Matthew. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babies. It is the Spirit that reveals the deep things of God. We are babies into whom the Spirit of God is pouring the truth so that we might grow up and be mature believers in Jesus Christ and be shining lights in a world of darkness. And people who reveal Christ when they're seen, why does that person love so much? Why does that person care so much? Why does that person go out of their way to make sure that this is taken care of or that is taken care of for somebody? There's only one answer. Because of the love of Jesus Christ. Love is what motivated our Savior from the moment He came. From the time He was born till the time He died on the cross, and while He was on the cross, it was love that was in control. Because love was the only thing that held Him there. The only thing that took Him up that road to die for you and I. John 16:12, He says to them now, I have so many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now that's an important phrase. And I want to emphasize that. That's an important phrase. The Lord is saying, you fellows don't have the capacity to receive all the truth right now. The Lord doesn't teach us beyond our capacity. Do you know that? No, He doesn't. He does not teach us beyond our capacity to receive it. You feed babies milk. You don't feed them hard food when it all starts. You can't feed them because it will choke them. It will kill them. So you feed them what they're capable of having. The sad part of it is a lot of babies grow up and they're still on milk. When Paul says they should be having steak, or if you're a vegan, something a little more solid than milk. There comes a point in time in a child, as the child is growing, that they get off the milk and they get onto solid foods. And the more solid foods they eat, the more they grow. And the Lord is talking about that here. Right now He's saying you're still babies. You can't take any more truth. I've got a lot to say, but you can't take any more truth. However, when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will teach you. And it will be a process. And it will be a process as you go forward of growing as He continues to increase your capacity to understand and believe. We ought to be always praying, Lord, increase our capacity to understand the truth about You and who You are. I want to encourage you for a moment to ask God that. Truth is only imparted by the Spirit of God, and He imparts it only to open hearts. And so the truth was being preached some time ago, and one of the observers came to the pastor and said to him, you can't change me. He was hearing the truth, but he was rebelling against it, rejecting it. And he was saying, you can't change me. And the pastor said, I don't expect to change anyone. The Spirit of God has to do that. But I wonder, my friend, if your mind is closed to the truth. If we come to the place where we're not willing to sit down and examine the Word of God, then we're in a bad situation spiritually. None of us knows all the truth. You should know some truth out there that I don't know. And I should know some truth that you don't know. Because we're all different. And God is working in each of our lives. And if you're a new Christian, I want to say this to you. If you're a new believer, if you haven't been a Christian that long, don't get discouraged if you can't understand all that is said to you in the Scripture. Because I've been a Christian a long time, and there's still things in there that I don't understand. And the Holy Spirit will give it when you have the capacity to receive it. You can trust that. Just keep on in the Word of God. Read it, reread it, reread it again, and keep on going in the Word. The Spirit of God will slowly increase your capacity for truth. And then He'll give you more. But you must have an open mind and an open heart for the Spirit of God to take the Word of God and make it real to you. And if you encounter false teachers and you wonder what's really right and what's really wrong, what's true, what's not true, then I suggest you take your big Bible and you go into the corner or of a house somewhere, into a closet with God, and get into His Word and ask Him to show you the truth. And He will. He will. If you mean business with God, He means business with you. You can count on that. And my prayer is that God will grant you and I a real capacity to receive the truth. Again, you can't pull it out of the air. You must get down to business and discipline yourself and get into the Word of God and read it and reread it and keep memorizing it and getting it into your spirit. Ask the Spirit to make the truth real to your heart. Don't study the Bible just to teach a Bible class. That's a very easy trap to fall into. Well, I read my Bible every week because I'm preparing sermons so I can talk and share it with you. Is that the only time I should read it? Do I ever read it for myself? Or am I always applying it to you? Or you as a teacher, are you applying it to somebody else? No. We should be in the Word of God for ourselves, for our growth, for our development. Now, the Word of God doesn't come only, the Word of God doesn't come only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. That's what the Scripture tells us. That's what it tells us in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. It comes in power and it comes in much assurance. In John 16:13-15, when the Holy Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and He'll tell you all those things. Now, as we close this morning, I want to challenge you to ask God to increase your capacity for truth. To get in the Word of God and spend time in it. Make it something you do regularly. Something that you do on a daily basis. And then ask Him to make it real to you and to your life. And then as you walk away from there, you are going to shine with the light of Christ. And wherever you go, whoever you're sitting with, wherever you might be sitting, work, restaurant, barbershop, just another person's home, your light will shine. And people are going to notice the difference. And it will be a flowing picture of the divine Christ flowing through you to touch the lives of those around you. Don't put it under a bushel. Now, what kind of bushel can I put it under? Well, I can put it under the bushel of fear. I'm afraid to say anything. I can put it under the bushel of, well, maybe I'll do it later, postponing. Or I can put it under the bushel of, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Yes, you do. You know why I know you do? Because you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is all about evangelism. So you can use all kinds of different bushels to put over your little light so that it doesn't shine. But if you do, then you stop growing. Your life does not have the full joy of walking with God. and the Spirit will turn from teaching you to convicting you, because He wants to bring you back to where you can share and let others see Christ through you. Let's bow in prayer. Father,